Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Reuters reporting, the leaders of the U.S. House of Representatives Taiwan Caucus, Republican Representative Mario Diaz-Balart and Democratic Representative Amy Barra, arriving in Taipei in a show of support after the island's successful election. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host, and we're very pleased to welcome our colleague, Stephen Yates, whose long experience with Taiwan can watch this Reuters report and say, what's changed? Steve is chair of the America First Policy Institute's China Policy Initiative. The photograph accompanying this story, Steve, is jubilant. Is that accurate? Is everyone in Taiwan in a celebratory mood? Good evening to you.
Oh, good evening, John. Obviously, when you're in a competitive democracy and there are winners and losers, not everyone is jubilant with the outcome, but there was pretty universal support for how the campaign was conducted, the vote was counted, and the results accepted. There were some challenges rhetorically. I don't think that they amount to very much in the Taiwan system, but there was sort of a celebration of democracy. There is a sense of unpredictability going forward because of a divided legislature. And that will kind of sort itself out somewhat in the near term because Legislative Yuan sits very soon and the inauguration of the new president isn't until May 20th.
Gordon, you have a question for Steve.
Steve, what do people in Taiwan say about the failure of President Biden himself to say anything inspiring? His words, which were shouted out after a reporter, were, "We do not support Taiwan independence."
Yeah, I think most people in Taiwan find that chilling because that wasn't really what their election was about. It wasn't what they were asking for or declaring. They have, I think, very effectively defined the status quo as Taiwan never having lived under a People's Republic of China rule and this continuation of democracy, continuation of the presidency within the same party, a commitment to keep many of the same policies in place. So this was not a change election from Taiwan, and yet the only comment from the president was one of caution, and it was aimed more at Taiwan than at China, which is the agent that is seeking to change the status quo. So I think that was received rather poorly. They did, however, receive very well a representative delegation sent by the Biden administration of former officials, one Republican, one Democrat, to come and congratulate Dr. William Lai, now president-elect, on his victory. Not much more than just the celebratory photos on that meeting, though.
Steve, when Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, visited Taiwan, the mainland had what I could describe as a geopolitical tantrum. Now we have the leaders of the Taiwan caucus in Mr. Biden's administration visiting, and there's no challenge of the air defense zone that I see on the morning's news. I don't see the carrier strike group coming through the Taiwan Strait. What's changed?
Well, I think just in the Chinese kind of ranking of priorities, they don't see a caucus in the Congress as doing very much compared to, say, chairs of committees of jurisdiction or the leadership of the House or Senate. They seem to react much more strongly when you have leadership level representatives going. There also are issues of timing. This was a muddled election from Beijing's point of view. It's debatable whether rationality reigns within the leadership compound in China. But if it does, this bodes for a divided government in Taiwan, which means dramatic change is not in the offing. If there is rationality, this is not really a time that you need to shock and awe the people of Taiwan, agents that agree with your peaceful unification or evolution are coming voices in the legislature. So leave them be. But I often meet with friends who warn against accepting that rationality is driving Xi Jinping thought these days.
Gordon, you have a question for Steve.
Steve, there's a long period between the election, which was January 13th, and the inauguration, which is in May. Do you expect Beijing to do anything in particular or out of the ordinary in this interim?
Well, I think all the rules are kind of out of the playbook because this is we're in uncharted waters, largely because Xi Jinping has done things that previous leaders did not find necessary. So the complete crushing of Hong Kong is something that didn't seem necessary. Beijing was getting a lot of what it wanted or needed out of Hong Kong. The wolf warrior encroachment on the United States, the bullying of the Philippines and others, all these things were not necessary under previous leaders. And so I look at this period ahead as one of concern. I do think that Beijing is probably going to keep its powder dry until closer to the inauguration and wanting to kind of set a tone about William Lai as he comes into office as being more strategically important to them, whether it's at the inauguration or in the weeks and months that immediately follow. That's where I think a demonstration effect is at highest risk.
The DPP is in a very good position to advance its conversations with the mainland. They both countries would profit from those conversations. And also the mainland's economy is in a spiral that influences Taiwan's economy, certainly because of the investment in the mainland. Is the DPP promising to work closer to China now that there's economic trouble?
Well, the leadership in Taipei has been open to dialogue, and they've even made some modifications or concessions on their longstanding party platform in order to be conducive for that dialogue. The real issue is not whether they're prepared to meet or talk. It's the preconditions that Beijing puts, and I don't think that Xi Jinping has demonstrated any interest in negotiation or dialogue. And when it comes to the business community in Taiwan, one of the things that is most stunning to me is the extent to which they're very serious about safe shoring a lot of their investments in manufacturing. It's moving at a gradual pace of necessity because of its scale. But there's way more talk among corporate Taiwan about moving things to Vietnam, India, Southeast Asia, Japan, and the United States than there what has been at any recent time I can remember.
That's surprising to me, Steve, given the amount of investment that Taiwan has made for decades, but especially in this century into the mainland. That would be a blow to the mainland that they're not now suffering. Is that correct?
It is. But I mean, given the scale, this is not going to be moving very, very quickly. But it is moving and it will be a blow. But I think it just goes to assert the idea that China's calculus under Xi Jinping is not about preserving or making money. There is a different logic at play. And so the inducements that would sue for peace and push an eventual resolution down the road, those are not necessarily in his calculus for what he thinks he needs to do in the days and years ahead.
Gordon, we have less than a minute.
Steve, on the mainland itself, it seems that the people there are just concerned about the failure of their economy. Do you think, and I know this is not particularly your area, but do you think that people in China would think a war against Taiwan would be a popular thing at this moment?
Well, I think it's basically the competition between propaganda that has gone on unchallenged for a very, very long time that does over time have an effect. But back in the 1990s, when I could go to the Chinese countryside, it was powerfully evident that the average Chinese citizen did not care at all about Taiwan. Their attitude was, if Taiwan wants to go its own way, what does that matter to us? We want a bridge. We want a school. We want education and opportunity for our kids. And I think in the intervening decades, that propaganda whipping up has had a more profound effect with, I think, a very accelerated cultural revolution in Red Guard 2.0. So people are cowed from giving an honest view.
Steve Yates of the America First Policy Institute's China Policy Initiative, Gordon Chang, I'm John Belcher.